The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.
Good morning, Long Island. Welcome to DDI on Autism on 103.9 FM, keeping an eye on autism and giving a voice to its Long Island community. I'm your host, Dr. Michael Romas, and again, so glad that you can join us this morning as we share and explore all relevant issues related to autism spectrum disorder. We have with us this morning returning guest, David Geslick. David is an author, fitness specialist, and founder of Exercise Connection. He has pioneered exercise tools and programs to engage and improve the lives of persons with autism. And for the purpose of today's conversation, this is a springboard to some really good work on in the area of workforce development. Welcome, David.
Hi, Dr. Romas. Thank you again for having me.
I'm so glad to have you back. You know, it's been some time, but where we left off, we were talking largely about the issue of exercise. And now we've moved forward, or you've moved forward in terms of your work, and maybe you can bridge that for us.
Yeah, so if some people remember, you remember, you know, I started an exercise like you had mentioned, but one of those clients that I had, I started working with him when he was 13 and had him for a client for a number of years. But when he started to turn 18, he wanted a job, and as many in the autism community, especially the parents, they know that they want their kids to get a job. So because of the relationship that I had with him, he and his parents asked, hey, will you be his job coach? Will you go along to the interview and help him? And I said, of course. I mean, I'd been a part of their family, per se, not just the trainer. And so to keep a long story short, I went in from his interview, was alongside him there, saw he did get hired, went on the job with him, supported him on the job. But really what I found out through that process is that I was spending more time with managers and coworkers to understand him, or Anthony is his name, versus working with Anthony directly. And I think there is a big, and I don't think I had mentioned this, but he was bagging groceries, which we know is a common thing where those with autism or disabilities go. But I think also you, me, and parents and many of the listeners know that those with autism have the ability to do more than just bag groceries. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but it's the misunderstanding that's happening over the years of what those with autism are truly capable of, and or truly by implementing and using evidence-based strategies at these jobs and educating, truly educating managers and coworkers about the abilities and how they need to communicate with those with autism. And that's where I was seeing that, hey, there's a big disconnect here, and I wanted to make that better.
What you just said, Dave, it certainly caught my ear, and the way you framed that, meaning that it was more than just coaching him for job skills, but rather understanding him and perhaps some of the nature of the challenge around autism. In your words, David, what did that mean, and what did you do for a better understanding of your client?
So I think I'll give you this example. When they were training him to be the bagger, okay, not only him, but another individual on the spectrum, an individual with Down syndrome, and inattentive, neurotypical 16-year-olds, okay, mm-hmm. They're surrounded by the conveyor belt. And one thing they said is, and remember, we're in the grocery store, okay? So here comes down a can of Coke. And they said, pretend this is a hot thing of soup. And when you do that, tie it this way and bag it this way. And I'm in my head, as you and I know, right? It's black and white for many of those with autism. So they're not going to can of soup versus can of Coke. What? Or a hot thing of soup? So then the next thing that comes down the conveyor belt, as a reminder to get everyone's head and picture this, they want them to practice packing or bagging meat or poultry. What comes down the conveyor belt? A five-year-old's example of plastic poultry that you would find in like a little Tykes thing. And I'm thinking, we're in the grocery store. So me being outspoken for all the right reasons, I go up to managers and coworkers and explain the difference, right? Of, hey, it's very literal. But, and then I say something to the other job coaches representing the other individuals there, and they agreed with me, but they don't say anything. Mm-hmm. And that's really where I just felt like, okay, if they're not saying anything, who is, right? And if this kid messes up in the future or their future clients, we got to do something about it. Like you can't just, yeah, it's great to get them a job, but if they're not going to succeed at that job or be taught properly, like, and is that really a big accommodation to ask in the grocery store or whatever? No, use the chicken that's sitting there or use the hot soup that you actually have. Like, I don't think that's, too much to be asking, especially as you and I both know, you can have an employee for life bagging groceries. The other challenge, though, that I saw in the long term is in the grocery industry. And this could solve the problem for the managers of these grocery industries. But the grocery industry, what they do is their schedules come out every week for baggers and cashiers. Okay, I get that's the typical plan, right? But we know those with autism, the more structure you have, the better they're going to succeed. So Anthony lasted one of the longest people from that group, right? But he eventually left the job, and his parents said, we want him to leave the job because they haven't seen that much anxiety and stress in him since he was a kid. Mm-hmm. All because he just had an unstructured schedule. So if you can educate companies and say, hey, if you can add structure here, you could maybe have an employee for life. And I said that to the company, nothing.
Yeah, yeah. So part of your understanding of the issue is really a recognition that a very strong subset of people on the spectrum can be very concrete in their thinking and their perceptions of the world around them, and is often a need for greater structure. And part of your work is to bring that to the attention of some of the employers and kind of advocate for adaptations that would accommodate and respect that. I'm wondering too, David, is a part of that work also to help the client be better at generalizing concepts? Meaning that at what point can the person you're working with begin understanding that that chicken that looks like, or that chicken packaging that would be better suited to some kind of a, as you put it, like tight packaging for a kid, is part of a larger category of chicken, and that if it comes to you as a frozen food, or if it comes to you as, right, something else that you might find in a supermarket, that you want to have the fluidity of perception of mind to be able to grow a little bit. So while the employer might be interested, you know, one of the hooks might be you could have an employee for life. Part of our work, and I think you'd agree, is to maybe push the envelope so that that client moves beyond being a cashier with a disability for life. Would you agree with that?
100%. And there is, I mean, essentially what you're saying is there's two challenges or two problems here. And I think we've done a very good job. Now the company is called Autism Workforce, into helping solve both those problems, which I'll get to from that client perspective, not just the company, but the client perspective. But so what happened was, is after Anthony and this situation happened, this was written up in the New York Times. And the owner of a company called Hart Schaffner Marks, which makes men's suits, they're a legendary Chicago company. And true, I mean, they're based in Chicago, but national company from like the 1920s, I think, or 1890s. He has a son with autism, read the article and called and said, could you do what you're saying in our company? And so in 2015, to use his words, he says, I want you to make this a laboratory. Find jobs, you know, work with my team in various departments to find and do and create jobs, but ultimately then create a model so this can be scalable to other companies. And that's what he challenged us with. And I can share more as, you know, before we go on to the break, but that's where Autism Workforce was started. And we've definitely progressed since that day in 2015.
My guest is David Gelsick. David, hold on to that thought. That's exactly what we'll pick up after the break. I think our listeners are going to want to know much more about how we develop and help cultivate the skills and talents of people in the workforce. Stay with us.